The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria in Kuwait. 7:32 Lagos, Nigeria. Welcome back to Dailies today. I'm Sharif Quadri.
Morning. I'm Jimmy Disu, and happy birthday to this gentleman here. He did what you call an ojoro. Yesterday was his birthday.
Yeah.
He didn't tell anybody. I fished out the information. And bingo. So we'd like to call our friends. We must celebrate this birthday, Mr. Emmanuel, the director in the Green Bottle area. Can we have something to watch this birthday? Anyway, happy birthday, Sheriff.
Thank you,
God
sir.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Mm?
Thank
God
you. Mm. Thank you. Well, thank you. And many thanks to everybody as well that reached out.
Oh, yes. I'd like to thank all those who said, help me say happy birthday to me. Iriakari, that is, I will also see my next birthday.
What amen to that.
That's a very vital prayer.
Amen to that. Iriakari.
In this world that we are in
now.
Yes. It's very vital. You don't know what's going to happen the next day.
You never can
tell. I was just telling you now that I'm exasperated. I'm just fed up, you know, of the situation that we are in. Political, so much tension over nothing.
Yeah.
Which will lead us to the first story.
That's right.
Let's hear that.
Let's begin. You can watch us live on Facebook and on YouTube, by the way. Just search for Nigeria Info 99.3 and voila, you'll be here. We're going to start with this story on page 5 of the Vanguard newspaper. PDP begins court process to disqualify Tinubu.
This is unnecessary. And it's coming at the wrong time. And I wish that our politicians could gauge, you know, could gauge the feelings of the people. We don't need this. What we need from the two major parties is to set a direction and agenda, you know, for us to decide which one of these, which of these parties we are going to vote for just next month. And this what this also does is that it destabilizes the polity. You know, the APC started it, though. You know, they were the ones who first went to court. We need to state that. And made, you know, very serious allegations against Atiku. If you had all this information, why didn't you make it at the beginning? This is what you're accusing Tinubu of is nothing new. We all knew months back, you know, for good measure, that would have been a very good time to do this. Okay, so let's read the story. It says that the PDP has commenced court proceedings to disqualify Asiwaju Bola Tinubu over criminal conviction and sentencing by a court of competent jurisdiction in the U.S. We knew this. We knew this. Why are you waiting till this last minute? You know. And however, the APC immediately countered the PDP, saying the party did not only lack originality but was also a copycat. Well, there's no exclusiveness to anything. What a man can do, another man can do. And the story here says that the PDP's move is a counter to the APC, which on January the 20th approached the court to disqualify Atiku Abubakar of the PDP over what it terms as Atiku Gate and SPV saga. Okay, so yesterday the PDP insisted that the conviction of Bola Tinubu for a criminal offense by a court of competent jurisdiction in the United States rendered him ineligible to contest for any election. Okay, now, so what if the court rules in favor of both petitions? The court approves the APC petition and approves the PDP. Well, what are they going to do now? Would they be going into the election with no candidates? What are we going to do? I thought these people met Abdul Salam committee sometime last week and were advised, you know, to not heat up the polity. Do your bit, state your case, and wait for the election. You see, with what we have now, we've lost track. We've lost vision. Okay, we don't know. In fact, to now make it worse, some people have actually lost interest in the elections, as it were. So the story here, of course, you all know about the U.S. conviction and the forfeiture of some humongous amount of dollars in the drug case issue and so on and so forth. I thought that we moved beyond that. And it was something we had to live in, to live with. It's not a pleasant thing, though, I must quickly add, on both sides. It's not a pleasant thing because on both sides now, it's a reflection. You see, we should also realize that it tells a lot of our country. If you look at those aspiring for leadership and you have these brickbats going on and going to court over issues like this, it casts a shadow on us as a people. Because it, and we, unfortunately, all of us will bear the responsibility. So, like, I appealed one. I hope that, you know, at some point, these two people will be brought together. Maybe it will be Abdul Salami that will organize a private lunch and appeal to them that, look, gentlemen, we are too close to the day for all these things to be, you know, to be happening. We are damn too close for these things to be happening. Can you please just take it easy? The facts are out there now. You can't say you've not heard. And that's what I also said about praying to God. God has revealed everything to you. So let the people then decide, you know, if they want to live with this thing. Later, of course, we are going to have to tighten the laws and tighten the prerequisites for contesting for presidency. Because this campaign has revealed a lot. And, there's, you know, the politicians still need to go back to the drawing board, including INEC, and tighten. What we have now, to be honest with you, is a bit of a disgrace. But let's leave, you know, let's leave that issue. What we have is what we have. So that's where we are this morning. And I can tell you, it's a frustrating job for people like Sherif and I to, you know, wake up in the morning to come and discuss things. Things like this that are not—they're not pleasing to the ears or pleasing to the eyes.
Do you suppose the voters, the electors themselves, they enjoy this drama?
I don't think anybody, any responsible person, will enjoy this drama, because all of us are going to pay for it. Anybody who knows what it is, all of us are going to pay. What we are doing is we are exposing ourselves to the world. Okay, so I mean, look at the accusations back and forth. How do you show up at any airport? The gentleman has read this or any of the other accusations, and you say that you are from Nigeria, you are carrying a green passport. What do you think would happen? What we have, like, where is Uche itself? I don't get to Uche from Kenya.
Oti Meho.
I mean, like, Uche is a shame. I'm pained, in all honesty. Not necessarily this one, but what you have out there, right and front. Ah, look at the time we had Shagari and Awolowo and what's his name, GMPP and so on and so forth. Aminu Kanu. Look at the Keda that we had. Look at statesmen that we had, wanting to lead this country. With this exposure, left and right, it doesn't do us any good. So. I think people should be more irritated than excited. What's there to be excited about?
Because I've heard some argument, like, yes. Especially those that are outside of these two parties. Mm. They're saying that, well, yeah, it's good. Let them all wash their dirty linings in public so that more Nigerians can get enlightened about, you know, the kind of people that have been leading them.
With this kind of dirty lining, we should have had a filtration system that wouldn't allow anybody, either of them, with all these accusations,
To get to this point.
But it's a carelessness. And the fact that, whether we like it or not, money has become our God in this country. So you find it extremely difficult, you know, for people not to be swayed by money. That's what it is. The bottom line, the genesis of all this, is the love for money and position. That's what it is. It's disgraceful. I feel ashamed as a person that people are watching me on YouTube now reviewing this kind of news as a professional. I remember in the past when we used to go for international conferences, the way Nigerians were regarded. Now you'll be pushed to the bottom of the ladder. You come up and say, yeah, Nigerian. They say, okay, how are you? Is it true that your leaders are A, B, C, D, E? The future doesn't look too good. I don't know how we're going to manage it. Because people need to have a sense of responsibility to know that it doesn't stop with the candidates. All of us are going to be affected. It just doesn't stop with the candidates. If we are not affected now, we'll be affected later. This kind of rubbish that you have out there, you know, that in the history of our country, at one time, these were the persons who were running for the number one position and they got so close to it. Indeed, any one of them can emerge.
That's right. No doubt at all. No doubt. Let's go to Daily Trust. We have an editorial here in Daily Trust that says, much ado about Chatham House.
That's another sore point here. And I'm glad the Daily Trust, as soon as I saw this editorial, I grabbed it. You know, I pounced on it. And they, of course, just like I am, you know, they're not too happy about this idea of going to Chatham House. you know, our politicians junketing there. You know, it says here, Nigerians are wondering the relevance of these well-publicized visits to the existential issues in Nigeria. Typical questions being asked about these junkets are, do the solutions about Nigeria's issues exist in the United Kingdom, which makes such visits mandatory on the candidates? Do the visits justify the huge sums of money expended for the purpose? I couldn't even be bothered about money because they've been using money for other things. At least let them use it for something that we can see. You know, the cookie jar is open to all those who can extend their hands to it, depending on how long your arm is. And the editorial says that Chatham House derives its name from its location in St. James Square in London. It's an independent policy institute, okay, which through research and other information gathering methods functions as one of the primary sources of ideas and strategies to the British government. Chatham House is very relevant. We are not running down Chatham House. Let's get that one very, very clear. Indeed, we should have ours. But we are not giving to intellectual discourse. That's what it is. Politics itself is not run on intellectual discourse. Okay? The politician who doesn't want to speak to you here would rather go there to speak to an audience. Of which, the irony about this Chatham House thing is that, in most cases, the visitor, or in our own case, the candidate or the politician, would have gone with people to fill half of the hall anyway. So you are preaching to the converted. Well, let's get back to this. It says that in the knowledge that Chatham House exists to serve British interests exclusively, Nigerians find it incongruous that Nigerian leaders, as long as can be remembered, have come to consider it a point of duty to go there and make fundamental pronouncements on Nigeria's domestic and foreign policy issues. There are reasons to be concerned about this. First of all, the prohibitive costs, which includes transport and accommodation. Well, if you know the way politics is spent the way money is spent in politics, you know it's just a drop in the ocean, really. And it says, it makes no sense for presidential candidates who glibly talk about the prevailing situation in the country and have promised to alleviate it to expend such huge sums that could easily provide succor to Nigerians on a junket that will ultimately deliver very little, if at all, to the people. And it says that, secondly, the presidential candidates ought to know that their priority is at home, here in Nigeria, where the people who are going to cast the votes expect them to address the issues directly and practically to their satisfaction. As we speak, the way we are going, I don't think we are going to have the opportunity of having the debates that we normally would have at this time. That would swing a lot of things. One of the things that swung the election in Abiola's favor at that time, in 1993, was the debate between himself and Tofa, which sadly exposed Tofa, you know, exposed his limited knowledge about governance. But no such thing. Rather, we engage ourselves in debt and so on and so forth. And it says that considering that the audience, virtually all the Chatham showing of the presidential candidates are made up mostly of Nigerians, either resident in the UK or those that accompany the candidates from Nigeria, this further questions the need for Chatham visitation. And then they say something here that I don't agree with. If at all such grandees should be held, we have similar functioning institutions such as NIA and NIPS and so on and so forth. No, I don't believe everything should be government. Don't we have intellectuals? Chatham House doesn't mean you must have a house to occupy. You could have an intellectual group, okay, made up of strictly intellectuals with no political leaning, and not just politics, look at other issues maybe once a month or twice a month. You could hire a place. You could hire a place like the Metropolitan. You could hire a nice, decent place, nice and quiet, where issues can be thoroughly filtered. But we are not given to intellectual discourse. We are given to sentiment. We are given to shows, you know. We are not given to... And it's sad. No country can move. I don't believe that NIA is a government institution. They can do those things. But we do need an intellectual body. About 50 intellectuals set up something. You know, and I remember one time we had concerned professionals, even though they were, you know, part, they also had some anti-military, whatever, sentiment in it. But I think that we need to go that route very quickly after all this message, this election mess is cleared up, if it ever will be.
If it's over.
Because the way I'm looking at it, the courts are going to be full with all kinds of cases after February, whatever it is. But I think the point has been made. I don't need to flog it any further. I don't see the relevance of going to Chatham House for anybody.
Let's drop Daily Trust. Let's pick up the Vanguard, page 8. New price, independent marketers sell fuel at 300 naira per litre.
My daughter was telling me over the weekend that in Ghana, you know, if you were to, you know, look at the equivalent, fuel is almost about 1,000 naira per litre. And so she was explaining to me that, you see, this is why Ghanaians use smaller cars. And so it's very high, but you buy limited fuel. Fill up, no way. Since you can just go into, you know, you can just go into a fuel station, you can buy the limited quantity that you need for the week. And she says it's about the equivalent of 1,000 naira, even though it might be going down a bit.
Per litre.
Per litre, yes. I don't even know. The last time I went to Benin Republic, I can't remember all the times I've gone to Benin Republic. I can't remember ever having bought fuel from the pump. I can't remember, right from the 60s when I was a small kid and my mom used to take me across the border. I don't remember having ever bought fuel from the pump. Even when I drove, when I took in uni, I took a brand new car to deliver to my uncle way back then. You see, the roads are now reversed. They came to buy a car from Alton Briscoe to I had to buy fuel from bottles on the roadside. You know, that's not an argument for this, but I think at 300 naira per liter, we are slowly inching towards what we will call a market-driven price. But you see, the inconsistencies of the government is a big problem. Nobody is addressing this issue frontally. And is this some tactics to whip these animals into line, something that looks like an apartheid tactic? Let me whip the people into line. Let me whip the ends, and I can't pronounce the word, but the ends, you know, whip the ends into line. Because we don't even know, we are not sure. One story said that the federal government had increased the price. Another story came out that the federal government hadn't increased the price. But we haven't heard anything from my Minister of Petroleum, who happens to be retired general and president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Muhammadu Buhari,
who happens to be in Lagos right now,
not in his public statements or even that proper statement, have you heard anything from him? And so it's confusion everywhere. There's no fuel in Lagos. It says in Rivers, ex-depot price is now 180 per liter, but the scarcity, the situation in Ibadan is worse. Motorist commerce in Ibadan is worse, and so on and so forth. And every day we could do a story on just these fuel prices alone, but nothing is going to change. Heaven help us all. We have an opportunity again next month. Well, if you want to continue with this kind of thing, so be it. If you're happy, so be it. But we do need a change of attitude and tactics. I keep saying it. And for those of us who are publicly opposed to these things, we are doing it for reasons that are quite clear. Can't continue to live like this. I don't understand. We can't continue to live like this. And you can see it coming and you embrace it. Second base, Jerry, let's talk about this one. It's very, very important.
Let's talk about this one. Long hour fasting, danger to kidney. That's according to NAFDAC.
Yes.
It's in the Vanguard.
It's hidden somewhere, but it is very, very important. Now, let me address you, my people. Muslims and Christians alike, you are being warned here that the high rate of kidney problems is traceable to prolonged fasting by some religious adherents. Prolonged fasting. I've always said that God is not a God of wickedness. People need to understand these things. Things like there's one they call biribiri. That is, you fast. Now, how does that one work now? You fast for 24 hours. You drink only water. There's one, you don't take oil. You don't put your, don't subject your body to punishment. Fasting means denial. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't take things to nourish your body. That's the way I look at it. Fasting means denial, and it's in the mind. You can be eating a big mound of amala and ogufe with begiri and everything, but you are still fasting.
Alaji Jedi.
No, no, I'm just...
Alaji Jedi.
Wait. because, but wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, in Islam, if you have a condition that demands that you eat, you will still eat and continue to fast because it's denial.
No.
Yes.
You are told not to fast. If it's going to be detrimental to your health,
you are told
do not,
not
fast.
Yes.
If you are aged, do not fast.
Yes.
If you're pregnant, do not fast.
But that also means you use that period also to deny yourself of certain pleasures.
So,
as compensation.
Exactly. So you can of course you have to
Why
abstain.
Did you say no?
No, it's different from
you
fasting.
You want people to think that it's you different know more from than me.
Of course I do.
I want to lay kewo. And I attended lectures of the late Imam Augusto, and they're still ringing in my head.
But I do agree with that particular story.
Oh, yes. Like, I think that this is what you could do at the minimum. At the minimum, I plead with all of you, go do it. The same applies to exercises. I see people in gyms lifting weights and all kinds of things. Then, in another 2 months, otilule. Your first port of call, if you want to indulge in these things, is your doctor. And let him give you proper advice. There are people who advise you must eat breakfast every morning. Or else, walule. And this is what Professor Adeyeye said yesterday. She said that she spoke in Abuja while briefing the media on the breakthrough by her agency, that's NAFDAC, in tracking a high consignment of Tramadol and other pharmaceuticals to the Republic of Benin. She said, on the high rate of kidney problems in the country, she said, kidney failure, we are a very religious country. Muslims and Christians fast a lot, and it's part of the kidney problem. Or what they call kidney. For those of you who speak Yoruba and don't understand, your kidney will answer you. It's kidney. And she says that, and part of kidney problem, your body has to have thank God I don't read the news. Homeostatic balance, meaning that the water level in your body must be enough to make your organs function.
Okay.
When we say water level, we don't mean say you go and jump into the swimming pool or whatever. Mm. The water level, the water you drink. Some people will fast for 10 or 20 days and drink only little water. Okay. The kidney is being punished.
Okay, that's excessive.
Yes. She says, now if you put chemicals in it, it triples in exponential manner. It damages the kidney because the kidney doesn't have the water to dilute and filter. So she tasks Nigerians to fast, but with common sense. That's why I found this story very, very interesting. Had I been the editor, I would have put it on the front page. Kidney failure is rampant in Nigeria.
Yeah.
It's very rampant.
It's on the rise,
due to diabetes and high blood pressure. And then, of course, fasting. So we appeal to you to do things in moderation. Do things in moderation. I think with Muslim fast, you can eat up till about 5 o'clock in the morning. What is... You should be quick on the draw.
It depends on the weather.
Whatever weather, you can still eat at 5 o'clock. except, of course, during summer. In the UK, where
do you understand? Exactly. Like, I have a friend that said, no, me, I cannot come and fast the UK. It's not going to happen.
My brother, Abdul Rahman, I remember about 4 or 5 years ago.
I cannot do it. I don't think I'll survive it.
It was I brought Jesus along. It is legion.
No way, man.
So the moral of this story is just be very careful, okay? Before you do exercises, fasting, pay your doctor a visit, you know, and let them do tests to make sure that you're up to it.
So we have to drop it here. I was hoping we could take this last story about the rally in, was it Bauchi now?
Well, I put it to the back burner because it was just some error, you know, the mic didn't work.
Yeah.
And the APC have said that they will find out what it is. I hope it wasn't sabotage.
Yeah, so in the story that I read this morning, by the time the reporters or journalists went to where the cable, whatever, power source, they saw that it's been caught and burnt.
End of story.
Yeah. So we have to go. We have to go. What's coming up at 9?
You know, Khadija Lamidi Okuno, the one of the, she ran for the primaries of her party for presidential election.
Okay,
so she's not the candidate, but I just want to find out how far, you see, because in the horizon now, all you see are men. If you notice, presidential candidates, all men. I want to find how far she has gone in promoting the interests of women in this political dispensation, because you had the only woman I've heard of now is the one who resigned from the APC yesterday and immediately joined the PDP. I was also reading the story that she resigned. Next thing I saw, somebody sent me another one, photograph with Atiku.
Yep.
She said she resigned from partisan politics, but she joined Atiku.
That's our definition of partisan
politicians.
Thank you so much for coming, sir.
All right. See
Lagos, that's our show. Let's take a break. At 8 o'clock, we'll bring you the news. After the news, we talk to resident doctors. They say they may just resume their strike.
And I want to assume that you would run, because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not sure.